from WBUR Boston and NPR. I'm Tom Asbrook, and this is On Point. The 2014 Sochi Olympics kick off 3 weeks from today. Opening ceremonies, flaming torch, and lots of issues surrounding the Games. Russia has poured $50 billion into Olympic preparation. The Games are shaping up as a kind of ticker tape parade for Russian leader Vladimir Putin, but not everyone's cheering. Russia's crackdown on gay rights and broader squeeze on dissent has brought a backlash. Suicide bombers struck Volgograd in late December, raising security fears. But on the ice and on the slopes, it's still great sport. This hour on Point, sports and politics at the 2014 Sochi Olympics. You can join us on air or online where this conversation is always on. Back in 2007, the International Olympic Committee meeting in Guatemala City, and Vladimir Putin laid out his vision for Sochi, concluding remarks here saying, hey, everyone's going to be happy to be in Sochi.
Russia is ready to host the Winter Olympic and Paralympic Games in 2014. The Olympic family is going to feel at home in Sochi.
We will make you feel at home. President Obama, much more recently, not so sure about how Russia's handled gay rights and more. Here he was on NBC's Tonight Show with host Jay Leno in August talking about Russia's ban on what they call gay propaganda.
If Russia wants to uphold the Olympic spirit, then every judgment should be made on the track or in the swimming pool or on the balance beam, and people's sexual orientation shouldn't have anything to do with it.
The president will not be attending. The first lady, American, will not be attending. Joe Biden will not be attending. But in the delegation, out and gay, great athlete Billie Jean King. On Tuesday, Stephen Colbert asked openly gay tennis legend, U.S. delegate to Sochi, Billie Jean King, if she would speak out for gay rights while in Russia.
I probably won't protest, but if the media ask me a question, I'm going to answer it.
Really?
Absolutely. Yeah, why not? See, you know,
or that you'll be breaking the law. If you say something positive about homosexuals or about homosexual rights, you'll be breaking the law. Technically, you could be thrown into jail.
Well, I'll take that chance, I guess.
Really?
Sure.
Things could get interesting in Sochi. We will talk in this hour with two of the hottest young American athletes headed to Sochi, Michaela Schifrin, 18-year-old slalom World Cup champion, and Jason Brown, 19-year-old figure skater and silver medalist at the U.S. National Championships earlier this month. Both are headed to the Games. But first, with us from Los Angeles is John Sherva. He's Olympic Bureau Chief for the Tribune newspapers, which include the Chicago Tribune, L.A. Times, Orlando Sentinel. Sochi will be his eighth Olympics. John, welcome to On Point. Great to have you here.
Good to be here.
And joining us from Washington is Angela Stent, director of the Center for Eurasian, Russian, and East European Studies at Georgetown University, a big Russia watcher, author of The Limits of Partnership, U.S.-Russian Relations in the 21st Century. It's out this week. Angela Stent, welcome. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Great to be here, Tom.
So here we are. John, you've been there. First, just set the stage for us, because here this is on kind of the same latitude as the French Riviera on the Black Sea, long-time retreat for communist elites for decades. Now it's both skating and skiing. They've got mountains and snow. Describe just the physical Sochi setup for us, John.
Well, it is a summer resort, not a winter resort, and that's the whole reason that Putin wanted to bring the Games there, is so that, you know, it could be a year-round tourist destination. But what you have to remember is where the Games are is really not in Sochi. It's about, if there's no traffic, which is never the case there, at least maybe 45 minutes to an hour away from the city. It's in two different areas. There's the coastal cluster, which is where the figure skating, the ice hockey, speed skating, those curling will be contested.
Literally right on the Black Sea, this collection
right.
of big venues there.
Yes, it is very picturesque. What they did was they had a big slum there, and then they tore down the slum, put the thing there. There's still an adjacent slum, and that's where half the competition will be. And then about an hour up the mountain is where the skiing and the action sports and the sledding will take place. So, you know, when I was there about a year ago and it was just one giant construction zone, I'm sure that's all taken care of now. But what's going to make this interesting is you know, in Russia you don't go off the grid anyway. Well, there's really no grid to go off of when you're at the Games, because there's nothing there. There's just the place for the competition, and then some housing for the athletes and the press, and you know, what's left of a slum. And I think they've probably taken care of the feral dog population too since I was last there.
I mean, very picturesque from the air. You've got these facilities right on the sea, and then the very tall mountains rising up behind where all the skiing and more will be. Angela Stent, there's been plenty of controversy in advance of these games, lots of spending. What do they mean, these games, to Vladimir Putin and Russia?
Well, in September 2007, I was with a group of foreign Russia watchers, and we met with President Putin in his presidential dacha mansion overlooking the Black Sea in Sochi. We stood with him on this terrace, magnificent sunset, absolutely stunning. And he told us, you know, these games were very important for Russia, and they really were a symbol that Russia is back, that it's overcome all the weakness of the 90s, and that under his stewardship, you know, Russia is a major player again, both politically, but also in terms of hosting a sporting event. So I think for him and for the people around him, this is supposed to be a symbol of this newly strong Russia.
A newly strong Russia with some pretty strong laws and strong opposition. A couple of different things that have caught lots of people's attention recently. One was this suicide bombers hitting the city of Volgograd. This is twice in late December. The train station there killing 17 people. And then again, Volgograd, 400 miles northeast of Sochi, but that's in the neighborhood. Here's some of that sound. Irina Gulushko reporting for RT. Russia used to be Russia Today.
The bomb went off just before 1 p.m. in Volgograd's busy train station. The detonation ripped through an area around a security checkpoint as unsuspecting passengers waited for their luggage to be inspected.
There, the security threat, and then the political tension around this. This was back in December. CNN's Diana Magny talked with Nadezhda Tolokonnikova, forgive my pronunciation, but one of the members of Pussy Riot, who had just been granted amnesty by President Putin 2 months before her two-year sentence was up. She was put in prison for a performance in the church there in Moscow earlier. Diana asked her if she supported a boycott of the Sochi Olympics. Here she is, interpreted by CNN.
The situation in Russia is very sad at the moment, really sad. And the political regime in Russia is leading the country to a collapse. So, of course, if Western countries want to show a strong ethical position, then they need to boycott the games.
So two issues there, Angela. One, security, and the other, dissent in Russia and how the world ought to look at it.
Yeah. Well, as you've said, you know, Sochi is a challenge for a number of reasons. Just to repeat what the first speaker said, it's a subtropical climate. There are palm trees all along the coast. Hopefully they'll have enough snow. I think they will. The second one, and you just alluded to it, is this is a very dangerous neighborhood. The North Caucasus in Russia is a seething tinderbox. There are incidents of violence every day in at least one of those six North Caucasian republics.
This is Chechnya, Dagestan,
this
and more.
Dagestan, there are six republics in Ingushetia, a number of others in that neighborhood. There are separatist groups there. They're terrorist groups. They don't really want to be part of the Russian Federation, many of those people. So there's the constant danger of terrorism. Then Sochi is very near the border of a region called Abkhazia, which is in the Western view and in most countries in the world part of Georgia, but it's a separatist region. Russia and Georgia fought a war in 2008. It's recognized just by Russia and a few Latin American countries, but that's also a dangerous area. So the neighborhood and the problem of terrorism, and so there are extraordinary anti-terrorist measures that have been taken now, more and more reinforcements. Someone who was recently in Moscow said, well, there's no one manning some of the security checkpoints in the train stations now because everyone is in Sochi trying to ensure that nothing bad happens.
Angela, hold the thought there. Yeah. We'll go to the bigger Russian political picture, gay rights and all the rest.
Sure.
John Sherva, when the cameras go on, and NBC's got a big investment in this just for starters in the U.S., and it's time to hit the slopes and hit the ice, do you feel confident? You've covered many Olympics. That all of that will somehow be outside the bubble in Sochi, or are we going to see a meeting of politics and sports here?
Well, I think that NBC will show a sanitized view. And, you know, I think it is a great point about, you know, the Russian or the Moscow train stations. The terror experts that we talk to, because, you know, we're all concerned for our safety there, is there's such a a presence in Sochi that the real threat for terror, many believe, is in the outlying areas, you know, maybe 100 miles away, the Caucasus and that. So, you know, what – I also think once the games begin, everything will change from security to the competition. At least that's how it's been. And let's also remember, too, that I remember the 2002 games in Salt Lake City. Those are the first ones after 9/11. Walking out of my hotel room, which is right on the border of the main competition complex, there daily I would see snipers in the sniper position on the roof of the hotel. So, you know, this is a greater threat, I think, than most, but it's always a part of the Olympics.
And the sports that we're going to see, is the U.S. in good position here? Do we have a good year for winter sports coming up, John?
Well, we could have had a better one, but a couple of injuries, you know, Lindsey Vonn not being able to compete in the skiing and Sarah Hendrickson in the ski jump. Those are two gold medals that they lost. I think there's a Dutch information company that tries to project out the medals. And what they say is that Norway will have the most with 36, Germany 33, Canada 31, U.S. 30.
Hold those numbers, John. We'll come right back and look at that. We're going to talk with Jason Brown, great young skater, and Michaela Schifrin in this hour. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about sports and politics at the Winter Olympics in Sochi, the games, the Russians, the issues, the excitement. Russia's been looking at this for a long time. Here's Vladimir Putin laying out his vision for Sochi. This is 2007 with the IOC in Guatemala City.
Sochi is going to become a new world-class resort for the new Russia and the whole world. And we shall be happy, happy to see you in Russia and in Sochi as our guests.
Happy to see you in Russia. Same time, Russia's got some pretty tough policies on gay rights, maybe foremost in people's minds. Speaking with reporters in Park City, Utah, this was in September, skater Ashley Wagner was asked about what Russia's ban on so-called gay propaganda might mean for her when she's in the sports spotlight.
If I can even just say, I know that I don't support it and that I think it's horrible the treatment that, you know, the LGBT community gets in Russia, I feel that that's at least doing something.
The politics are there, but as the games grow closer, people are really focused on their sport. Some hot young athletes headed from America, big hopes in Sochi for 18-year-old U.S. skier Michaela Schifrin. She's on the slalom course in Bormio, Italy earlier this month in this tape. Universal Sports announcers Steve Pornimo and Doug Lewis pick up the action near the end of the course.
She is strong, she is fit, and she knows never give up.
Michaela Schifrin towards the bottom, chasing the time of Holmner, across, and into first! Michaela Schifrin gets the win!
And she just keeps winning, and she joins us right now from Reiteralm, Austria, Michaela Schifrin, 18 years old, Olympic alpine skier, current slalom World Cup champion. With her recent successes, including a big win in Austria this week, many people are comparing her to Lindsey Vonn, who, of course, is out of the Sochi Games with an injury. Michaela Schifrin is a phenom. Michaela, thank you so much for joining us from Austria. Congratulations on your most recent win just this week. How did that race go, Michaela?
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm really excited about this. That race went well. It was a pretty big margin of a win, and I was just excited to get some of my good skiing on the course, so it was really fun.
Where are you now in the course of training for the Sochi Games? Are you in the groove of actual training or just, you know, in competition and moving toward the date?
Well, we're training quite a bit because we have a little bit of break in races right now, but really part of the biggest training for Sochi is the racing and being able to let your skis go and really compete well during the races versus just training well, because some athletes find it difficult to train well and then race well at the same time. So right now the biggest training and the biggest benefit I'm getting is just racing and trying to get my good skiing out there.
Michaela, you're 18 years old and headed really for the big dance here. You are so fast and look so loose on the slopes. How do you think about your style?
I've been working really the past few years on trying to be really loose because I've ever since I was little, I've always put a lot of emphasis on my technique, so I'm solid on my skis. But the past few years, I've been working on having the good technique, but also letting my skis go and really not holding back at all. So I tend to think of myself as a pretty relaxed skier, but also disciplined with my motions.
What about the politics kind of bubbling around these Olympics, Michaela? Do you let those come into your mind? Do you think about them? Do you just block all of that out? You know, issues of dissent and how people can show it in Russia, how Russia looks at these games, security issues, gay rights issues. Are those in the back of your mind as you prepare for the Olympics?
Well, it hasn't been. I mean, we have a pretty small team here, so we're pretty kind of isolated from everything. But obviously, I've seen kind of what's going on. And of course, I'd rather compete somewhere familiar to me. I'd love to race in the United States because it's home. And
sure.
And I feel safe there. But I also know that everybody who goes into organizing the Olympics are all trained to deal with these kind of difficult situations. And I'm just really excited to go race. I mean, I feel going into the Olympics that they have a handle on things, and my job is to go in and ski as fast as I can.
Michaela Schifrin, it's great to have you with us from Austria. John Sherva, you follow all this. Here's a young skier who has made a big name for herself in a hurry. How do you look at her in the context of the competition in Sochi, John?
Well, I think there's no doubt that Michaela is, I think, this winter game version of Missy Franklin, you know, just sort of the up-and-coming figure that absolutely. But I do think it's somewhat of an opportunity lost in that because you're in the slalom, it's very late in the competition. I think it's Friday the 21st. And, you know, it would be so much better if the slalom were early. Then you can sort of build on the momentum. So I don't know, Michaela, do you think that how are you going to handle just basically being there for a very long time waiting for your race to come up at the very end?
Well, you know what? Actually, what we're doing – so I'm racing the Giant Slalom and Slalom, and you're right. They're the last two alpine racing competitions, and they're only, I think, 2 days apart. So what we're going to do is fly into Sochi a little bit later. So we'll spend about – I think a total of 9 or 10 days there, but we're not going to be there the entire time. So we can utilize a training in Austria before the games.
And Michaela, how's it feel to be compared to Missy Franklin, who was such a superstar in the swimming pool, of course, so recently? Americans remember that. I've read that you've been tweeting with Missy. Has she given you some advice on how to handle the spotlight?
She has been really supportive, and we were tweeting a little bit this summer and kind of going into the season. And I'm very flattered by that comparison because I love the way she handles herself with media and with her sponsors and whatever she's doing. Whenever you hear about Missy, it's always positive and she's always smiling. And she's 17, 18 years old and working so hard and having success. And I think it's a really good lesson to be learned that she's obviously having a blast, and whatever pressure is on her isn't affecting her because she's winning and she's loving it. And that's kind of the mentality I like to take.
Angela Stent, there are serious security and political issues in Russia. Put yourself in the ski boots, if you can, Angela, of a young 18-year-old terrific athlete. Should all of that be on Michaela's mind or not?
Oh, no. I mean, I think our athletes should go there and they should focus on the, you know, what they're great at doing, what they've excelled in, and that's competing in in the Winter Olympics. And I think, by the way, there is a special protest zone that's been set aside now by the Russian authorities if people do want to protest. But I think not. I think that the U.S. has done the right thing in terms of who's in the delegation, who's going to lead the delegation to the opening ceremonies. And we've already been through that. That makes a couple of very strong statements, who's not going and who is going. But I think the focus should be on the sports.
And Michaela, among Olympic athletes within your little circle there or beyond, is there chatter about this? Are people saying, you know, oh, I want to make some protest at the opening ceremony? Or are your coaches saying, forget about it, just ski, girl?
Most of it, for me, I'm really trying to just stay focused on my sport. So most of it's really just don't worry about it. They're trained to handle this kind of thing. So what your job is to go in, try your best to win a couple medals, and that's that. And that's really the whole point of the Olympics, is friendly competition with pretty much every country in the world. We all go in and we're all competing for the for those medals and hoping that it's a story we can tell our grandkids someday. So that's really my vision of the Olympics, is just making it as amazing of an experience as possible. And I do agree that for most of the athletes, there's, of course, there's some athletes out there who want to take a stand one way or the other, but I don't feel that it's my job to do that.
Michaela, you grew up on snow in Colorado and in New England, New Hampshire. What kind of snow are you expecting in Sochi, this odd place, you know, with snowy mountains above the semi-tropical Black Sea?
Yeah, it's a little bit funky there, but it's I'm really excited to go see really what the conditions are. We were trained there a little bit last year in February, and it was kind of just your average spring conditions, a little bit almost sugary snow, and we had to put salt in the snow to harden it up. But I had some of my best training conditions there out of the entire season last year. So I'm really excited. I think it's going to be fair. I think it's going to be an awesome competition.
18-year-old current slalom World Cup champion, Michaela Schifrin, joining us there from Reiteralm in Austria. Michaela, we wish you all the luck in the world. Thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you. Good luck. Go get him in Sochi, Michaela. Wow, terrific. And good luck to her. Let's let our listeners in. Frank in Milwaukee is calling. Hi, Frank. You're on the air. What do you think?
Hi, Tom. Great show. You know, unfortunately, we have precedents for this type of Olympic Games, don't we? In 1936, young African-American went to Berlin and took on Hitler by showing him can do athletically. We know in 1972 what happened in Munich, and here we are again. I'm following a young African-American speed skater by the name of Shawnee Davis, who could very well become the star of these Olympic Games. And what's in front of us is, would his athletic achievements supersede the political events that are festering here in Sochi. So, unfortunately, we have precedents, but I'm hoping we end up with a 1936 type of outcome versus a 1972 with the Israelis and the Palestinians outcome for these games.
Frank, I appreciate your call. I mean, you can hope for 36 in some ways. Maybe Jesse Owens, of course, who made a big showing there in the face of the Aryan power message of Hitler's regime. On the other hand, 36 was a prelude to pretty terrible times for millions and millions. I mean, Angela Stint, give us some perspective here. I'm looking at a Dallas Morning News column. This was written by Mary Sanchez, actually a Kansas City Star columnist who wrote for the Dallas paper. And the headline is Shades of 1936 Olympics as Sochi Games Approach. Do you see it in that dire a framework, Angela?
I don't. I don't think that that's an apt comparison. I mean, you know, Hitler was already in power there. We know what happened afterwards. This was a prelude. I mean, there's the issue of LGBT rights in Russia. There's the issue of political repression. But, you know, this is not 1936. I mean, Russia is a country where there's still quite a lot of freedom of expression, not on the state-run TV channels, but in other areas. The internet's pretty free. I'm on the blogosphere some of the time. You can express all kinds of opinions there. So I think one shouldn't exaggerate that aspect of it. And again, to come back to I know that the two young women from the Pussy Riot group that you quoted said mm-hmm. one should boycott these games, but I don't think that would have been an appropriate response. And again, that would have been terrible for our own athletes who've trained, you know, so hard for this. And probably what will happen is that these games will go off without any major incidents.
Here's in August, International Olympic Committee Chairman Jacques Rogge said the Olympic Committee supports all athletes here. Here's Rogge.
The Olympic Charter is very clear. It says that sport is a human right and it should be available to all regardless of race, sex, or sexual orientation.
A kind of nod toward all kinds of rights. But in later statements, Rogge said the IOC will not support athletes who use the Winter Olympics as a platform to demonstrate against Russia's anti-gay propaganda laws. John, we've got Vladimir Putin just today. This is a fresh story out today saying that gays should feel welcome at the upcoming Winter Olympic Games in Sochi, but that they have to, quoting Putin here, leave the children in peace. He told volunteers today that gays visiting Sochi, quoting him again, can feel calm and at ease. The AP reporting here saying there would be no discrimination, but he emphasized, according to a law banning homosexual propaganda, as Russia puts it, among minors, gays cannot express their views on gay rights to anyone under age. What do you expect here on the ground in Sochi around this issue, John?
Well, you know, I think there might be a John Carlos-like moment that, you know, there'll be just some spontaneous demonstration, whether it's in, you know, the colors of the pins or something. But I don't really think – I think once the competition starts, much like most games, it will be just dominated by the competition, that there really, you know, will not be this big uprising. You know, I do think, though, that before the games and after the games, you know, you know it's not going to be great. But once the competition starts, you know, there'll be just a sort of a spontaneous thing. And like I think the clip you had with Billie Jean King, you know, she didn't plan to do any demonstrations. But, you know, something will pop up. It'll be minor. The press, because we are so good at overblowing things, we will overblow it, and then we'll just move on.
Talk about Shani Davis. Our caller from Milwaukee mentioned Shani Davis, African-American speed skater, and a bright hope for Americans in these games.
Well, this isn't his first time around. I mean, he was in Vancouver. He was in Torino. His dominant races are the 1,000 and 1,500. He will probably get a gold in one of the two and maybe a silver in the other. You know, he's from the Chicago area. He really is a star. He's not a transcendent star, though. He'll be like among the top five names that we'll remember from the games. But you know, he's been around. He doesn't have the freshness that like a Michaela Schifrin will have.
Speaking of fresh, we're going to speak in just a minute with Jason Brown, young figure skater turning a lot of heads. Talk to us about him.
Well, you know, he was third in the short program and then had a fantastic free skate to earn the right to go to Sochi. This is not the best year for U.S. figure skating. I mean, they will get a gold in the ice dance, but you know, he's going to have a lot of tough competition. There's some great Japanese figure skaters that he'll have to go again. I think it would be quite a remarkable achievement if he made the podium, but you know, he still will probably be in the last rotation or the next to last rotation. So you know, we'll just have to see how he does.
Very, very exciting young skater, Jason Brown. We're going to hear from him in just a moment. On Sunday, January 12th at the National Championships right here in Boston, 19-year-old skater Jason Brown punched his ticket to the Olympics with a Riverdance-inspired performance on the ice. Olympic gold medalist and NBC analyst Scott Hamilton was blown away.
Oh, man, they're going to have to shut this building down for repairs after this program because he's going to blow the roof off of it.
A very exciting, joyful young dancer with 10 seconds left in his free skate. The crowd went wild for Jason Brown. NBC's Tom Hammond, Sandra Bezek, and Scott Hamilton captured the moment.
Nineteen
years old and on his way to the Winter Olympics in Sochi, the first teenage male single skater to make the U.S. Olympic team since 1976. We will be watching him in Sochi. Jason Brown joins us right now from Colorado Springs, Colorado. Jason, thank you very much for being with us today. Congratulations on being headed to Sochi.
Hi, guys. Thank you so much for having me. It's such an honor to be on your show. And oh my gosh, this is such a privilege. I can't even believe I'm talking to you guys.
19 years old. How old were you, do you think, Jason, when it came into your head that maybe, somehow, maybe you would skate at the Olympics?
You know, the first Olympics that I saw was 2006. And that was, that I saw live. And I was in my living room with my parents. And I think that's when I first, you know, that became a dream of mine. But it still wasn't, like, something that I really thought was going to be a reality. And it's definitely not something that, you know, looking back at it now, I would have never guessed that this would be what would be going on, but I could not be more, you know, I always try to stay in the moment. And so, you know, the moment came and I can't even believe where I am right now.
That freestyle performance at the national championships was really something else. You look so loose and full of joy out there. What are you thinking when you're skating a very challenging routine like that, but one with so much freedom in it?
Thank you so much. You know, I've been working so hard this year, training harder than I ever have because it's such a taxing program. I've done so much endurance training, so much, you know, and I moved to Colorado, so I'm in altitude now. And I definitely think just that training so hard and doing section after section after section every day. And I went out there and that's how I trained it, the program. And I couldn't ask for anything more than just to go out and do my program as I've trained. And that's how we've been training it. And so I couldn't really ask for anything more. And after that, you know, everything else is out of my hands, what the judges do, how everyone else skates. And so then it ended up in second, and I honestly can't even wrap my head around it yet.
Hey, listen, it's really terrific, and we wish you all the best. How do they prepare you, Jason, for Sochi? Do they show you photographs of the venues there? Do they give you a sense of what it's going to be like when you arrive? What are you expecting?
No, for sure. Earlier this year, we have watched videos, and we have like a team camp in the summer that they showed us videos, and we talked to a bunch of people that are going to be there, and different things like that. And also, I was fortunate enough to go to Sochi about 2 years ago for the Junior Grand Prix final. It was a junior event that they had,
kind of
like that test event in Sochi. Yeah, so I've actually gotten to go and skate in that rink. And so it's definitely, I can't even believe I'm going back.
What did you make of it? What did you think of Sochi? What were your impressions, Jason?
I loved it. You know, that was my first time I've ever been to Russia. And, you know, the fans are amazing. The culture is so incredible. Just from the architecture to the people to, they had at like the, like one of the competitors' parties, they had a Russian dance group come in. And it was just so, the way that they brought the culture into the event was truly spectacular. And just to be in an Olympic rink with my coach was something that I can't even like put into words. And I can't even believe that I'm going to be going back there at an Olympic Games.
Were you a dancer first or a skater first, Jason?
I was always a skater, but I love to dance. I guess if you count putting on shows that my sister choreographed when I was 3 and 4, if that counts as dance, then dance came first. But it started off as a skater.
Do you think about the political issues at all in Russia, the crackdown on what they call gay propaganda there and all the rest? Is that on your mind as you prepare or not?
It's really not. I definitely don't completely agree with it, but I'm really trying to just focus on my training every day and doing what I do every day and trying to represent my country the best that I can.
John Sherway, you're our sports editor here. What's your question for Jason Brown?
Well, I think one of the things that is going on in Sochi is they're introducing a new competition, the team figure skating. Jason, do you know if you're going to be selected for that or what the team is thinking about that?
I have no idea. They are talking about it, and it is something that's up for discussion about who's going to compete where, but the skaters haven't been given any information on who's going to compete, who's not going to compete, but I don't know when I'll find out, but it's definitely an event that it would be such an honor and privilege to be a part of the first team event in the Winter Olympic Games for figure skating.
Jason, when you're tying up your skates, when you're lacing them up to hit the ice, and that Riverdance performance, boy, that was very popular. What are you thinking at that moment when you're just actually lacing up, getting ready to head out on the ice?
Thank you. You know, all I was thinking about was just go out there and do what you've trained. There's nothing else I could do. I couldn't ask to be better than I've trained. I couldn't, you know, I just wanted to go out there and skate the way I've been training and just skate the program that me and my coach have seen every day, that me and my coach have worked on this entire year. And that was my main focus, and that was all I could think about, and that's just what I went out and did. I've never been more prepared for an event, and I just went out and try to stay on my feet, fight for everything, and just perform for the audience, because there's nothing more that I love to do than to skate for them and to skate for them.
Jason Brown, headed as a 19-year-old off to Sochi for the Winter Olympics, just a tremendous figure skater there. Jason Brown, we wish you all the luck in the world. Keep that joy rolling and have a great time in Sochi.
Thank you so, so much, guys.
Jason Brown, headed to the Winter Olympics. Angela Stent, John Sherwell, we have a lot of callers waiting to come in here. Let's go to Madison, Wisconsin, and Randy. Randy, thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Okay, what do you think?
I'm scared. I have to be a gay man at 59 years old. I understand and okay for a nation, especially their leaders, to believe what they want to believe, but there is a lot of hatred in there, what they're doing, and to have anyone from the U.S., let alone the worldwide, go there and be around that, that something may and good chance that it may happen, and any kind of gay propaganda that they're not going to listen to, in other words, people, friends of gays or gay friends of gays or the athletes in general can and will bring gay propaganda, and they may talk to youth. That is their darn right. And my question is, what will the U.S. and other countries do if something were to happen?
Well, let us pick it up. And, Randy, thank you for your call. Angela Stent, first to you. Do you presume that Russian authorities will keep athletes safe, not only from the kind of security threats people worried about after the Volgograd bombing, but from, you know, what elsewhere in the world might be seen as gay bashing?
Well, it's an excellent question. I mean, for Putin and for the people who support him, this is Russia's international reputation is at stake. So they're going to do everything they can to protect people, first of all, from terrorist acts, and also to make sure that there aren't any incidents. On the other hand, by passing this legislation, and I'm sure that they didn't think this through, this is part of a complicated domestic politics and trying to improve relations with the Russian Orthodox Church that's been the big mover behind this so-called gay propaganda legislation. In passing that, they have created a situation where the unexpected could happen. And I think the caller is quite right to have concerns, something that we don't anticipate could happen. There could be an incident. There could be violence. And then I guess one has to be prepared for what is done. We have to see how the Russian authorities will respond to it. But I think it is something that we have to have at the back of our minds as these games begin, even though we hope that nothing like that will happen.
We'll look at that more. David in Santee, South Carolina. David, you're on the air.
Yes, sir. I just have a couple things. I've had experiences in other countries, and I think Americans might think that your rights don't exactly come with you when you go to other countries, and as a rule of thumb I use in other countries, when you're in somebody else's house, you respect them. And I just think that they're not going to remember what you say or your ideas. And when you leave, what's going to be remembered is you were the rude American.
So,
and I think we really need to sit back maybe and think about, you know, just respect. You need to respect somebody when you're in their country.
So you're saying, are you saying, David, don't, make a demonstration for gay rights in Russia? It's their Olympics. Let them have it the way they like?
Basically, yes, that is what I'm saying is don't steal the athletes' thunder right now. This is their time. You know, so in two aspects, you know, when in somebody else's house, you don't disrespect them.
Yeah, David, we've got it loud and clear. Of course, some of those athletes themselves may be gay with their own opinions about this. So here's openly gay New Zealand short track speed skater. This is Blake Skellerup. He competed in Vancouver. He said if he goes to Sochi, he plans to speak out for gay rights. This is from a CNN international feature, Journey of the Gay Athlete.
These laws are something that don't sit very well with me, and I'm very, very happy to show my support for the people of Russia, that I'm there with them, and that my presence in Russia will hopefully encourage them to stand up and give them the strength to fight against this, because that's what needs to happen.
John Sherva, what are you expecting? What are reporters expecting here? You've described the kind of isolation of these Olympic facilities. So presumably people are not going to run into street problems by and large, though I don't know. But let's say just on the in the opening ceremonies, if you've got athletes from New Zealand or you name it, the United States, anywhere who do make some kind of political demonstration, just a, let's say, a pink ribbon as a kind of a nod toward gay rights, do you expect Russian authorities to give them problems?
I really don't. I think Angela hit the point exactly right, that Russia's desire to have a good face on these games, to basically show the world, hey, we're okay, we're good, we've got this great resort you can come to too, that is going to overshadow anything that in their preparation and how they deal with things. It's just going to be – that's their primary focus. That's what they're going to want to do. And I think the LBJT and their antiquated views on that just are going to fall back. They're just going to sort of – well, we're going to kind of forget about that for a couple of weeks because we want the world to love us.
Angela, why do you think Moscow has put the gay propaganda or gay rights issue so front and center in the year leading up to this? What's the point that Putin and others are trying to make with that, or what's their interest in stressing that?
Well, we have to go back to the December 2011. There were all these demonstrations against Putin and against the elections, fraudulent elections. There were more demonstrations in 2012. And I think the Kremlin was very unnerved by this. Putin comes back to power and he understands that the people who support him in the country are the people who live in the provinces, in rural areas, who are less well educated who basically support very conservative values. The people who don't support him are the urban educated elites who have very similar issues, attitudes on social issues to those in the United States, Europe, Australia, New Zealand, wherever. And so Putin has carved out for the rest of his time in office this new identity for Russia. We represent conservative values. And he's using this, and this does come back to the what's happening in the North Caucasus, to try and appeal to the Muslim population, both in Russia and in other parts of the world, saying our conservative Orthodox Christian values are very similar to traditional Muslim values, and we have to fight the decadent West. This is the space that he's now carved out. And it's largely for domestic reasons, to shore up his base of support there, but also to appeal to, as you know, Russia's not the only country in the world that has legislation like this. Mm-hmm. So there are enough countries in the world that, in fact, would support that. So that's I think you have to see that in this context. But I also do think that I wonder whether anybody thought about the timing of this when they passed all this legislation and whether they ever linked it to what might happen at the Olympics.
December, just this last December, a couple of days after being named by President Obama to the U.S. delegation at the Sochi Games, figure skating legend Brian Boitano came out as gay. Here he explains that to NBC's Matt Lauer.
I've always wanted to represent my country as best I could, and I knew that I had to go past my comfort zone and reveal a private side of my life that I have never done before because I felt that the message is so strong.
He was asked if it was the responsibility of U.S. athletes to speak up, and Boitano said, "Let our delegation speak for the country, and you guys, the athletes, focus on your work and do what's best for you." Is it a big insult to Putin and the Russians, Angela, that President Obama, Michelle Obama, Joe Biden, and right on down will not be there?
Well, I should mention there's another reason why they're not going to be there, and that's Edward Snowden, right?
Yeah.
So it's a mixture of a number of different things. U.S.-Russian relations have really deteriorated in the last year, particularly since the Russians granted Edward Snowden, Snowden political asylum. It's true, I believe, that at the Winter Olympics you don't normally have the same high level of representation as you do in the Summer Olympics. I would just remind you that at the Beijing Olympics, Summer Olympics in 2008, President Bush went and saw then Prime Minister Putin, despite the fact that Russia-Georgia war had just broken out. So I think it probably is an insult. And again, I think that the Russians have to draw their own conclusions from the level of representation that we have going to the opening ceremonies.
John, all but a few of us, to the extent we see it, we'll see it on television. How do you think NBC is going to handle the political tension around the games? Just turn the cameras away and give us the sport or something else?
I think they'll have it as sort of a backdrop, and I think it'll be mentioned a lot, but they won't focus on it. They'll basically just be doing the athletes once the game starts.
Well, to Jason Brown, wonderful figure skater, and Michaela Schifrin, 18 years old, great slalom skier, both who joined us today, our great thanks and our high, high hopes for your good luck. And John Sherva and Angela Stent, thanks to both of you for being with us. John, have a good games in Sochi.
Thank you.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.
On Point is a production of WBUR Boston and NPR.